The continuing presence just off Waikiki of the damaged, grounded Pacific Princess has brought a number of issues to the fore, maritime law, environmental protection, and the legal status of its crew among them. They're familiar issues to Jim Cook. He's a board member of the Hawaii Longline Association and is part owner of 5 Longline boats. He's with us in our studio. Jim, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. Pleasure to be here.
You've heard a bunch of the discussions swirling around, sort of generated by this particular issue.
I have. Yeah.
What does the public, in your mind, fail to understand?
Well, I guess let's talk about the grounding first.
Sure.
This is a vessel that was en route from American Samoa to Honolulu carrying foreign crew members. Mm-hmm. These crew members are not allowed by Customs and Border Patrol to fly into Honolulu, so they have to come out of foreign ports into the state. They often come out of Canada, Ensenada, and American Samoa because American Samoa is a customs-free port. So the crew members boarded this boat. The reason that there were so many of them on board is to keep down the amount of traffic that has to go back and forth. So I might ask somebody to bring me up 4 people, and you might ask somebody to bring you. So there were 20 people, as I understand, on this vessel.
And they were extra crew members. They're more than the vessel.
They were, in a sense, passengers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they arrived offshore, I guess, sometime at night. I'm not really familiar with the cause of the accident, but what it appears is they were waiting till the morning because they can't come in for customs clearance before morning. Mm-hmm. Whatever happened in that evening, they ended up where we see them, on the beach at Waikiki, a very unfortunate thing. Fortunately, the captain and crew were rescued, taken in, documented, and those crew members were delivered to the vessels that they needed to go to. So that's basically the story of the grounding. I'm sorry that can't be more elaborate.
Well, Jim, let me just ask you, what in an ideal situation like that, when a vessel is grounded, what are the responsibilities of the captain and crew?
So obviously the captain is responsible for the piloting of the vessel. Piloting of the vessel failed. There was an accident.
Right.
The crew is just listening to the captain and following the captain's instructions.
Getting back to the status of the crew, they were essentially passengers being brought here to work on other fishing vessels?
That's correct. So under U.S. Coast Guard law from back in the 70s, there's a provision in the law that allows American vessels to hire foreign crew. It was put in there with the purpose of sort of leveling the playing field between foreign crew and foreign vessels and American vessels. So those folks are allowed to work in Hawaii. When they come into port in Hawaii, they're allowed to get off the vessels and remain in the area of the pier areas, Pier 38 or Pier 17, wherever come in. And they normally stay in Hawaii for a period of 1 or 2 years and then return. Most of them, a great amount of them, are from the Philippines, some of them from Indonesia, and a few from Vietnam and Pacific Islands.
So they really have to stay pretty close to the vessel.
That's right. They have to be able to come back to the vessel within 15 minutes, and they're allowed, in the case of both piers, to freely roam in the area of the pier. So they can go Pier 38 to the restaurants or wherever they want to go.
That's not very wide range to roam, though.
No, it is not.
So it's a very, I think that's one of the things that has been questioned, the legal status of crews aboard vessels like this.
Well, I think the public should be reasonably assured. We've been doing this practice in the state for, I guess, over 30 years. The federal government, in terms of Customs Border Patrol, the U.S. National Marine Fisheries Service, and the Coast Guard, are on those piers every day. And inspecting those vessels and talking to crew members and watching the business very closely. And I think the public, whether they like the practice or not, should take some comfort in the thought that the government is highly observant in doing their job.
Yet you run into a fair amount of misunderstanding of what it is you do. Fair to say?
Yeah, that's correct. I think that some people don't like fishing. And some people, there's a lot of things we don't like, and it gets a little bit confusing When issues happen such as this grounding, or issues happen such as the use of foreign crew, and people object to these things, and it's fine, I understand that, but they are entirely legal, entirely allowed by law, and carefully monitored, and that's how the business operates.
Well, Jim, earlier you said that the original purpose of the law that allows foreign crews is to level the playing field between U.S. flagged vessels and vessels from other countries. Is that a level playing field now? Are you content with what has been done, or what things would you like to change, if any?
Well, I like operating under U.S. law. I think it's good for people. I think it's good for the vessels. I think it's good for the U.S. And in terms of the crew, I think when most people first got into this business, they maybe came in with the idea that these foreign crew would be more economical or cheaper to use than domestic crew. But the fact of the matter is, once you go through all the expense in the hiring and transportation of these crews and bring them in, and they probably are making on an average of $1,200-$1,500 a month. The actual expense of foreign crew is really about the same as domestic crew. One of the things that is really important, it has been very problematical for the industry ever since the industry started to grow in the 90s to obtain domestic crew. It's almost impossible.
Why is that?
There just aren't enough people who want to go out and spend 3 weeks on the ocean catching fish. I don't know if you do, but there are not, a lot of people who want to do that.
You did, right?
Yeah, I do, and I love it. I love every minute of it.
But you know, something drew you and your peers of your generation into the industry.
Yeah.
Is that just not happening anymore?
No, I think it continues to happen to a lesser thing. Economics drive a lot of it. In the fishing industry, crews are paid on a percentage of the catch, and that's allowed by federal law. So you get on a vessel, and if you agree to work for me for 1% of the catch, you can work for me for 1% of the catch. And so, you know, wage pressure has grown in the industry like it has all over. And so it's constantly been more pay, but not really enough to draw the amount of people in there we need. We're operating with about somewhere in the vicinity of 700 crew members, you know, something on that order.
And they're making, as you said, $1,200 to $1,500 a month?
I think that's fairly true. They can make a wide range of things. They normally, foreign crew has a guaranteed amount of money. So what they get is they get their money. They usually get some kind of a bonus percentage on the catch, and then they're provided with what you might call room and board. They live aboard the boat. All their food is paid for. All their gear is paid for. All their transportation expenses are paid for. And they go home. They can go home annually, or a lot of them choose to stay. Some of them have been here for 3 years.
Well, Jim, by American standards, as you well know, $1,200 to $1,500 a month is not going to do very much for you, right?
That's correct. And I think when you look at it, I have a crew that works on one of my boats, and when they're home in Manila, they run a cab company. Their average wage is about $90 a month. So many of these, I think the vast majority of these crews are very happy with the situation and as it relates to their home environment and their home possibilities of pay.
Even with that limited freedom of movement when they're on U.S. soil?
Yeah, that's correct. I think that what I'd really like is I'd like the public to take more interest in this and come down and talk to these guys. A lot of them have reasonable English, and I think you find they're a pretty happy group of people. The industry just went through an assessment by Costco to look at the whole crew situation. The outcomes of that assessment will be available, I believe, in about a week. And I don't know if Costco is going to release it. It's their product. But if they do, that will certainly be a window into it for public to look at.
We'll look for that, Jim.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for coming in and
talking
with us.
You're certainly welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Jim Cook is a board member of the Hawaii Longline Association, part owner of 5 Longline vessels.